It's great to be together again today, isn't it? And when we left off last time, we were getting settled in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Our focus is on Jesus Christ, God's only Son, and the ministry he had among us that Matthew writes about in his gospel. On this broadcast and podcast, we've studied Matthew chapter 3, and now we're coming into chapter 4 and the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by the devil. At the start, we are spending some time invested in verse 1, so let me reread verse 1 to you, and then we'll look into one very important word in the text. Hear now God's word to you this Wednesday from Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. As I highlighted yesterday, the Holy Spirit of God is the one who led Jesus. Jesus was not led by the devil. God is the one doing the leading. God and not the devil. However, once the Spirit does that, getting our Lord to where he needs to be at this exact time, then and only then does the devil appear. The text says to be tempted by the devil. I want you to really get this. The Spirit leads Jesus, but the Spirit does not tempt Jesus. The Spirit leads Jesus, but the Spirit does not tempt Jesus. It is the devil that tempts Jesus. That means the purpose for which God brought Jesus into the wilderness is different than the purpose the devil has for Jesus once the Son of God arrives in the wilderness. Here is what is operating simultaneously. God has a purpose, and Satan has a different purpose. God and Satan are the greatest enemies that exist. We cannot fathom two greater enemies. And Jesus here gets caught in the crossfire. You and I, as Christ's people, do also. And so let me unpack this for you a little today. And I will proceed as follows. It seems to us in reading Matthew 4 that the purpose of the devil is to tempt Christ to sin. The verse we have before us, verse 1, makes this crystal clear. To be tempted by the devil. And most Bible readers assume that is the only purpose at work here. In fact, I believe your Bible will say in italics above Matthew chapter 4 something like, the first temptation, or the temptations of Christ. But that is slightly misleading, as we shall see in a moment. Nevertheless, yes, Jesus is tempted by the devil. The purpose for the evil one is clear. By whatever means necessary, get Jesus Christ to sin against God. Okay, we're clear on that. But that leaves us with a good question. What is God's purpose in all this? Why does the Spirit of God lead Jesus into the wilderness? Well, the answer to that lies in a key word found in verse 1, and that is the word tempted. The Greek word translated here into the English as tempted is the key to understanding God's purpose for drawing Jesus to this barren place. And so you might ask, what does the word tempted here actually mean? Good question. I'm happy to answer this because you know of my love for words. Once again, this magnificent language of biblical Greek offers us a real diamond. This root word is peirazo. Peirazo. Try this with me. Peirazo. Peirazo. Well done. Go ahead and get this word on your mind and get it going on your tongue in your mouth. Peirazo. And what does it mean? Well, it does mean tempted. But in the English, when we think of being tempted, we automatically assume the bad. If someone is being tempted, that is a negative thing. A silly but common example. I have already had two brownies, but they were so tasty, soft, nice and moist. And so I am tempted to have a third and a fourth. And we hear that and we think the temptation is calling out to me to do something that is bad for me. On a more serious note, we think of being tempted to sin within our bodies, souls, minds, and spirits. We are tempted to be intimate with someone who is not our spouse. We are tempted to malign another person's character. Or we are tempted to so disdain the body God has given us that eating too many brownies was long ago overtaken by addiction to all sorts of foods, beverages, booze, and drugs. We're tempted in a bad way to destroy our bodies with substances, some legal, such as food, and some illegal, such as drugs. But this is not the case in the Greek. Actually, originally, our English word tempt or tempted was also not exclusively used with such negative connotations. The idea or feeling this word tempted now evokes is always toward doing something that is bad or sinful or evil. But in the early use of this word in the English language, and certainly in the Greek, as we're about to see, tempted could be used in another way. That is, to be tested or to be tried, which is not necessarily negative or bad. So, for example, in Old English, I could say, I was really tempted. And by that I mean I was tested or I was really tried. And the purpose for the testing and trying would have been for my good. And so, as is the case with many words in multiple languages, a word can be used more than one way. That is the case here in Matthew 4, verse 1, when we read, tempted. And now let's come to the Greek. And here I want to call upon two of our friends to help us understand the original language. I'll start with John Albert Brodus, and then move forward tomorrow to Kenneth S. Wiest. I love these men and the wisdom they provide. Brodus has the best commentary on the book of Matthew I have read. And regarding this Greek word, pyrazo, he says, the Greek word signifies to try, to make trial of, to test. And then he speaks to two motives for this. For example, the motive to try or to make trial of, to test, could be good or bad. A good motive, writes Brodus, would be to ascertain character, to develop and make manifest its excellencies, or to expose its faults, that they may be mended. More on this soon. The second motive is a bad motive. For example, people may test God. And of course, the devil, Satan, and his demons test us to draw out our evil tendencies and to entice, to tempt us into sin. And I agree with Brodus, then, that the motivation for God in bringing Jesus into the wilderness was with a good motive. God the Father was trying Jesus. He was giving his son a trial, and he was testing him. And the motive is good because through this testing, Jesus demonstrated again to the Jews and from them to the world that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, God in human form, and the Messiah. Because, as we shall see, Jesus passed the test. He went through the trial successfully. Jesus never once, not even for a second, gave in to Satan. Jesus aced the test. God the Father gave Jesus the Son a perfect score. 100%, A plus. And just before we leave this first motive to test, which is good, here are some biblical examples of how God tests us, his people today. God tested Jesus, and God tests us. And when I read these passages, listen for the same Greek word, pyrazo, translated in Matthew 4 as tempted. I do not have the time today, unfortunately, to deal with the context of these verses and to teach them in depth, but I encourage you to read the full context, say the entire chapter in which these verses are found, on your own this evening. Okay, the first is John chapter 6 and verse 6, John 6, 6, but I'll start my reading at verse 4. This is John's Gospel, chapter 6, and verses 4 through 6. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus was lifting up his eyes, and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This Jesus was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. There it is in verse 6. Jesus tested Philip with very good motive. And yes, the word test here is the word pyrazo. John 6, 6. Our next example of God testing us is in 2 Corinthians at chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Test yourselves to see you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" The Greek word pyrazo, here is the word examine. Examine. Paul says we must examine ourselves. How genuine and sincere is our faith in Jesus Christ? We better test ourselves. We better examine ourselves as God does. Oh, yes. God will test every Christian so that we know just how authentic and real our faith in him is. You see, the motive is good. God knows if we are sincere or not, but he wants us to know, and therefore we receive these testings and trials. Every believer has them. And this word here for examine is the same word used in Matthew 4:1, for the purpose in which God led Jesus to the wilderness. He did so to test him, to examine him. And my friend, if Jesus was tested and examined by God, then how much more so will we be? I just have time to add this. In the Old Testament, there's a deep sense of God testing his people. Think, for example, of the test God gave Abraham and the sacrifice of Isaac, Genesis chapter 22, or in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20, when Moses says to the people of God, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you so that you may not sin." That is Exodus 20:20. Easy to remember. Read Genesis 22 and Exodus 20 tonight. The point in giving you these biblical texts is to show you that God tests us with good motive. Now let's bring all this back around to Jesus in Matthew 4:1. The word there translated tempted is pyrazo, but it also means to test. God tests us, but God never tempts us. So putting Jesus in the wilderness from God's perspective, that is, God's purpose was to test Jesus. God's purpose was to test Jesus. But remember, the devil has a different purpose, and that is to tempt. We'll be talking about that soon, but tomorrow we have more to do as we explore the depth of meaning in just this one Greek word, pyrazo. We want to hear more about it from Dr. Wiest and learn more about God's testing of Jesus, so join me then, for God is...